Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shabbat shalom, Israelites. Grace and peace in Jesus.
Shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom. Grace and peace. Shalom, Israelites. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shabbat.
Amen.
I'm going to keep saying Shabbat Shalom, everybody. But it's the first day of the week, so we can't confuse the two. Yesterday was the Sabbath, so I hope everybody enjoyed their Sabbath day. I surely did.
I did too.
Amen. I keep wanting to bring it up. So, yes, yes, indeed. The Sabbath was a beautiful Sabbath yesterday, all the way around. The Father's merciful. Today, we're dealing with something that's common but misunderstood. You know, it's misunderstood. It's misunderstood on so many levels. What do you mean? The soul. What is it? You know, it's commonly said that white people don't have no soul. You know, stuff like that. Rhythm would be more accurate than soul. You know, I think that would be more accurate, because when we get through looking at the precepts, we understand that every one of us has a soul. Everybody. Black people, white people, African people, Oriental people. Every people have a soul. Everything. So that don't make you godless or godly, having a soul. It just make you conscious. I mean, that's if the breath of life is flowing through you. That's the other thing. Are you a living soul? That's that thing. Can a soul die? Yeah, can a soul die? You know, we've been told that a soul is something mystical that appears mystically in your body. Or disappear mystically from your body at the point of your departure from this world, and your soul go off into another realm. This is that thing. Do that actually take place? What the Word of God got to say about those things, which is what we would define, I'm talking about those of us that are trying to obtain those things that belong to God. Those things are what we call the inventions of man, or those things are man. Fables. Amen. That's what it is. None of that. You mean to tell me the Catholic Church had this Bible for over, 1,500? Yeah, almost 2,000 years, and it's the best you can do? Israelites picking up this book in a year and already on the next level? Come on, man. It's that time. We're here, and it's time to get this thing settled. First and foremost, you have to understand basic principle things. What is a soul? All right? So I know I put out that I had a reader today, but I didn't. I don't want to confuse my two, man. Grace and peace, Shalom, Israelites. Who want to read for me? Who would like to read for me, please?
I mean, I'm here.
All right, well, pray, brother. Would you do the honors?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's start this in Matthew chapter 10, 1 verse and 28.
Oh, no, open it up today? Script?
Oh, yeah. Please, yeah. Let's find the script,
okay.
And we'll open up.
Yes, sir. Our sisters, please cover your head. Our brothers, please uncover your head. Let's face the east and let's pray in. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. The reading was taking place in the book of Psalms, chapter 49, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. Father, have mercy and give us a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform it. And Father, give those that hear us a mind to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' heavenly name we pray, for your mercy endure forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's get started. This lesson is simply called The Soul, What Is It? What is the soul? You know, we got a whole lot of interpretations in the world. What do the Bible call the soul? So let's, once and for all, let's see what thus saith the Lord, what he has to say about a soul, which is what he created. So we're going to believe whatever God says, seeing that he the one that created the soul. All right? Forget mysticism and all that old type of stuff. Forget what you heard growing up. Forget all the Ouija boards and all those things. Souls ain't trapped in that. Those are devils. A soul is something else. That's what we're going to go into the scriptures to find out. So, Brother Isaiah, if you can pick up Matthew chapter 10 and 28, when you receive it, read.
The book of Matthew chapter 10, yes, sir, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Now, wait a minute. Now, if you read that, you would think it was a different. You would think that that was something separate of itself. This is why you got to search the script. So when you read that with understanding. This is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 22. Chapter 5 and 22. And we're going to read to 23. When you receive it, read.
You said 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22?
Yes, sir.
22. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very good of peace sanctify you only. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body, but preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
See, this is that thing. He said, abstain from all appearances of evil. You know, that's a sin in itself because that's a commandment. You know, just being in that appearance of evil is sin to God. That's because this is a law right here. Abstain from it. So then he said, and the very God of peace for doing just this, he said, for the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So now you, if you abstain from the appearance of evil, you are being what? Sanctified. And then he said, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he said your whole spirit, soul, and body. Wait a minute. Now this sounds like three different entities. This would justify some people if they say Trinity. That's what we're going in to find out. Are those things true? What do we mean by spirit, soul, and body? That's what we're coming here to find out. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when you receive it, brother, read.
The book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herd of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Wait a minute. So we got right here that man was created from the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now we got soul being mentioned here for the first time. So it's a possibility of a dead soul if it's a living soul there. Why? Because the Most High don't create anything without an opposite. A false balance is an abomination. So right here you see the word living soul, so that means that constitutes a dead soul. There's a possibility that that exists just in this conversation, just right there in that Genesis chapter 2 and 7. If you just looked at what he just said, you understand that a soul could die. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 1. Leviticus 4 and 1, when you receive it, read.
Book of Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock.
Stop. How is that possible? See that? That's just common sense. How is that possible? How can a soul bring a young bullock to the priest for a sin offering?
Right.
See that? That's just good common sense. If a soul sin through ignorance against any other commandments. First of all, your soul that's in you can go break the law without you. Does that make sense? Is there any reasoning in that? Sin through ignorance against any other commandments concerning things which are not to be done and shall do against them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, let him bring forth his sin and sin and the young bull out without blemish unto the Lord for sin offering. Wait a minute. Let's skip down to verse 27 and read.
27. And if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty.
Hold on. Now you see, that's the same conversation that he had in verse 1. If any soul sin through ignorance. Then he went into the priest. Then he just said here, if any of the common people sin through ignorance, then he defined it. See that? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, this is not clear enough, go to Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to make it even clearer. Leviticus 5 and 1, about time we get through with the scripture is going to be drawing you a complete picture of what a soul is. You're going to answer that question for yourself. Leviticus 5 and 1, when you receive it, read.
The book of Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity.
Stop. So your soul can go sin by itself, but then if he don't utter it, who is he going to utter it to? And then he said, if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he has seen it or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his. How is that? How is that? So a soul can sin without the body. Verse 2, let's continue.
Verse 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcasses of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty.
Wait a minute. So your soul is out there playing with dead animals.
Right.
Without you. You see what I'm saying? That don't make sense. You know, when I look at this, I look at like when, you know, in a butcher's shop, you're picking up pork or, you know, stuff like that. Because he said, the carcass of an unclean beast. See that?
Mm-hmm.
The carcass of an unclean cattle. Like, you know, you go out there, you're picking up catfish and shrimp and lobster or, you know, pork. That's this law right here. So your soul is out here playing with unclean carcasses without you, right? Read on.
Yes, sir. Verse 3. Or if he touch the uncleanness of men, well, man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty.
Your soul is out there playing with the uncleanness of men. Read on.
Verse 4. Or if a soul swear pronouncing with his lips to do evil,
so
or to do good.
So your soul got a what? Your soul got what?
Swear or pronouncing with his lips to evil, to do evil.
Your soul got what? Nope.
Swear.
Nope.
Lips.
Where you get that from? You don't get no better than
that.
Oh, your
lips.
Soul is out there. See, your soul supposed to be this puff of smoke. It's supposed to be this mist that leaves your body at your departure. All of this, you know, and you hear it got ears. It can hear the voice of swearing. It can play and touch things, so it got a hand And it goes on to say it got lips. And it's talking. It talks. It got a speech. Now read that again.
Verse 4. With a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these.
Wait a minute. So what did he just call that man?
Guilty.
A soul. He just identified what a soul is in verse 4. He said, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath. See that? If a soul swear, you see that? Or pronounce with his lips to do evil. And then from here he said, whatsoever a man pronounce with an oath. There it is. Read on. So he just defined it. A man is a soul. A soul is a man. No wonder that makes sense now with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Verse 5. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, then he shall confess that he have sinned in that thing.
Wait a minute. So who is he going to confess to? Exactly. In this case, he's supposed to be confessing to the priest. Let's look at this a little further. Skip down to verse 14 and continue.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if his soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring forth his trespass unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, at the estimation.
Where you going to get that from? And the soul going to bring a what?
A ram.
Have you ever seen a ram being brought to the priest invisibly? Must be a soul. A soul been out there sinning, so he had to bring a ram. Really? See that? That don't make sense. That's that thing. That's when you look at it, and then you look at it what the law said, then it is funny. What the way people think. No, I take that back. Forgive me, please, forgive me. The way we've been taught to think. Okay? All right, because you can't hold that against them like I couldn't hold it against myself because those things were introduced to us. But when you read the Word of God, you see that the Most High, his mindset is completely different from the world. Continue.
15. If a soul committed trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with the estimation of by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering.
So where the soul going to get money from?
He ain't going to be able to pick it up.
He's
gonna fall on the floor.
You see what I'm saying? Where you get money from? All right, read on, brother.
And he shall make amends for the harm that he have done in the holy things, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement.
Whoa! He got a what? Your soul is out here sinning without you. So he had to take a ram with some money and give it to the priest. Where you at?
Your soul out there could commit adultery. Ain't nothing you could do about it.
It's out there doing nonsense and all bringing sacrifices to the Lord and everything. And you what? You don't know nothing about it? Read that 16 again.
16. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespasses of fearing, offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with the estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherewith he erred, and was it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord.
See that? None of that makes sense if you look at the way the Lord, the way the world describes a soul. None of it. None of that is even close to making sense. If a soul is some type of mystic power that's a different entity of you. So what is a soul? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 1. Leviticus 6 and 1. When you receive it, read.
The book of Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or have deceived his neighbor.
Stop. How is that possible? Going to the way of the world, how is that possible? See that? But if we look at what a soul is, and it's a man, and a man has committed a trespass against the Lord and lied unto his neighbor, which was delivered to him to keep or in fellowship and take away by violence or deceived his neighbor, if a man do that. But if a soul do that, that don't make any sense whatsoever, according to the way the world thinks. But if we allow the Lord to teach us that Adam became a living soul, that means Adam's body is a soul in itself, then this makes perfect sense. Because, you know, he's talking about a man. Read on.
Yes, sir. Verse 3. Or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and swear falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein.
Wait a minute. That a what? That a man doeth. See that? He just defined what a soul is again. Right there, verse 3. Verse 3, he just defined what a soul is. A man. That a man doeth. See that? Read on.
Then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering.
Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 7 and 18.
What you say?
Leviticus chapter 7, verse 18.
The book of Leviticus chapter 7, verse 18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity.
So a soul got an appetite. Read on. An appetite besides you. You don't know you're eating something else, or you don't know your soul just, all of a sudden you just got this overwhelming feeling of you stuff. Right? Okay. Read on.
19. And the flesh that touches in any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people.
That soul going to be cut off from what? There it is. Are we seeing that? Did he just define that right there? Okay. All right. So people stop saying a soul is a private entity, a soul is a man, or people. That's all. That's why you got the term souls. plural, people. That's what he just said. That soul shall be cut off from his people. Souls, plural. Not wandering souls in the midst of darkness of evil. No, that's not accurate science, or that's not accurate. That's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach right here that a soul is a man, and the souls, plural, are a people. All to it. Okay, let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15 and Numbers chapter 15 and 27. Numbers 15 and 27.
The book of Numbers chapter 15, verse 27. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him.
Wait a minute. You ain't got no female souls? Why it's always a he? What's going on? See that? Why your soul got to go find a she-goat? That. This is why you got people that, you know, like atheists and agnostics and whatnot. They read the Bible and listen at the world, and they say, you know, either the book is wrong or you wrong, and all of it is a, you know, is a lie, because neither one of it is agreeing with each other. And they right. This don't agree with the world doctrine what a soul is. Far from it. Continue.
29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people.
He said, but the soul that doeth presumptuously, like sin just willfully, he said, that soul going to be cut off from among his people. Once again, see that? And it don't matter who you are. You notice what he said? You notice here? He said, soul is a stranger too. Notice that? So you can't say the strangers are devils anymore. Whoop, took that. Can't be a devil and a soul at the same time. See that? Right. Read on, brother.
31. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him.
There it is. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Numbers 19 and verse 11. Numbers 19 and 11. So that soul, if he said presumptuously, willfully, he said that there's no forgiveness for that sin. None. Read on.
He that touches
that sin would be upon him. No, go ahead.
He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him.
Stop! Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead and purify not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel, because he is unclean.
14. This is the law: when a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. and every one, excuse me, and every open vessel which have no coverings bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days.
See that? You know why? Because if you touch somebody dead in the kingdom, you couldn't come into the kingdom because you might have touched somebody who had a plague, and they would probably die within 7 days, so they want to make sure that you ain't bringing nothing into the land. That was the law for that. That's why you don't have no walking dead scenarios. You don't have that. You don't have the idea of plagues being moved around in your city. You know, like the Black Plague, the Bubonic Plague, they said that started, I'll read this book of Pessimist History, it said it started from the fact that Italy went to war with Asia. Asia was shooting bodies over their walls with catapults, believed to have diseases on it. Well, they throwing the bodies at the people, and the people ended up catching this plague, and they went back to their country. And instead of sitting outside waiting, you know, for 7 days to see what would happen, they just went into their porch and the Black Plague took off. This law here prevents that. Continue.
Verse 17. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that are there and upon him that toucheth a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at even.
Wait a minute. How come we keep talking about a man and then the soul and the man and soul keep interchanging this conversation that both of them got to be washed because they're one and the same? Exactly.
Okay.
20.
Amen. Verse 20. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation.
Stop.
Because
Stop. Did he just say that? That soul. See that? He just called that man a what? A soul. Flat out, right then and there. Read that 20 again.
But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean.
Okay, good. Let's look at this a little. No, keep reading.
Yes, sir. 21. And there shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkled the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until even. And whithersoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until even.
See that? Interchangeable. Joshua chapter 10 and 22. Joshua chapter 10 and 22. When you receive it, you're going to skip around. Read. Daniel chapter 10 and 22. I mean, Joshua, I said Daniel, Joshua.
Yes, sir, the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the calf. Excuse me, out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees unto the even.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. So, now Joshua smote them with a sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
And killed them and hung them up on a tree. Now, let's look at this a little further. Get down to 28 and continue.
28. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein, and let none remain. And he did to the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho.
Stop. So you can kill a soul.
Mm-hmm.
He said he utterly destroyed them, all the souls therein. He destroyed the body and the soul.
Ooh-wee.
I thought only God could do that. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And the movie Insidious is going to try to sue you.
Yeah,
Insidious
let
movie.
Him come at you. Look at here. Look at here. All I'm going to do is open up the law and tell them get passed.
I'm sorry, bro. I just want to say.
That's all good. Hey, 10 and 30. Skip down to verse 30 and continue.
Verse 30. And the Lord delivered it also. Excuse me. And the Lord delivered it also, and the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho.
So you can kill a soul with a sword? Really? Skip down to 22.
You said 32?
Yeah, 32, yeah.
Yes, sir. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. And Horam.
Wait a minute, man. Are we starting to get in the pattern here that you can kill souls with a sword?
Mm-hmm.
That's
one
and
the same.
Plain and simple. That's, huh?
I said one and the same.
One and the same. He smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. You don't get around that. So you can't say a soul is a puff of smoke when the Lord is telling you Joshua was killing them with a sword. Okay? Let's look at this a little further. Let's skip down to 35 and continue.
35. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroy it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. Amen.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Can't get around it. Can't get around it. See that? That's plain and simple math, man. That's the laws of deduction. Now, you got to make up something now. You got to come up with something else now, but you can't call it a soul. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Joshua chapter 11 and verse 10.
The book of
Joshua chapter 11, verse 10, when you receive it, read.
And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazar and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazar beforetime was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroyed.
Say that. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
They did what?
They utterly destroyed all them souls.
No, man, what did they do with that? Verse 11. 11 and 11.
And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword.
How is that possible?
Gotta be one and the same. I guess that's a fairy tale. A fairy tale of an astral form. That's fairy tale.
That's just bad doctrine from not knowing the word of God. And that's, like I said, like we opened up, man, you know, you got Rome, they had these books for 2,000 years, and that's the best they can do. You see what I'm saying? Your soul is stuck in purgatory. That's the best you can do. Let's skip around. Go to 14.
14. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe.
What? Wait, what? So when you destroy a soul, you cause it to what? Stop breathing.
Uh-huh.
Ain't that what God did? And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and
the
man became a living soul. So in order to stop a soul from being mobile, you have to do what? Stop it from breathing. How you do that? With a sword.
Uh-huh. Come on, Joe.
I'm just saying,
bitch. Right.
That's it. That's it. This, hey, let's go into Jeremiah chapter 4 and 10, man. See, this is that thing, man. We gotta let the Bible. You got the Lord. You gotta let the Bible speak. You gotta let the God of Israel teach us about Himself. We can't be sitting up here making up these fairy tales about the truth and then run with it. You know, like I still hear brothers talk about imps and little spirits running around in the world, leprechauns and stuff like that. They still talk about those things. I'm like, you kidding me? You've been in the Word for how long? If you've been in the Word for 6 months, that's supposed to be the furthest thing from your mind. You know, anything like that, because you already went through your book. If you're still talking about stuff like that, flying saucers and all that, you aren't prepared for that thing yet. Let's look at this a little further. What I say? Jeremiah 4 and 10?
Jeremiah 4.
Okay.
Okay, Jeremiah 4,
Jeremiah
4 10.
Verse 10. Yeah, verse 10.
Yes, sir. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 10. Then said I, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul.
What? The sword reaches onto the soul. Look, so you can't kill a soul with a sword. You see that? It just explained itself. It explained what Joshua was doing. He was killing the soul with a sword. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 31. Jeremiah 2 and 31.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31. O generation, seek ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten my days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones their ways.
Oh my God.
Also, mm-hmm.
No, just read, man, just read.
Yes, sir. Also, in my skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor.
Whoa. No, we're not just going to read past that.
Yes, sir.
So a soul can do what?
Poor.
A soul can do what?
Also, skirt, what, get what, clothes?
Nope.
Oh, blood.
There you go. A soul
blood.
Can bleed. It can believe.
So ain't no
yeah.
Smoke will come out. No smoke or dust.
What is blood doing coming out of a spirit?
Mm-hmm.
You get it? What is blood doing coming out of a puff of smoke? Something that looked like a cloud or a vapor. What is blood doing coming out of that? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Revelation chapter 6 and 9.
The book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw unto, excuse me, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held.
See, there go the souls of them that were slain. See that? They were killed. See that? There it is. Law and the testimony. You see that? Testifying of the law that souls can die. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Psalms 22 and 10. 22 and 10. Psalms chapter 22 and verse 10.
Before you go to Psalms 22 and 10, what scripture was that you just read? Revelation
6 and 10. Yes, that was Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9.
6 and 9. And then I think Sister Mary had a question. If she still does or doesn't, I don't know.
I was just going to answer his question when he asked about the blood up coming out of the soul.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sister Mary, she stay on it. I had to make sure to correct that. Amen.
That's what's up. All right, amen. Where are we, bro?
Are we on the book of Psalms, chapter 22, verse 10?
Let's read.
Yes, sir. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a postern, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. For
wait a minute. This is Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Right? This is him on the cross. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, my jaws stick to my mouth. What do you mean? Because they beat him up. He got blood in his mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all of our bones are out of joint. They was broken. They wasn't broken. They were out of joint. If you're hanging up on the cross, the weight of your body is going to pull your joints out of place.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Well, that's read a terrible death. 16.
Yes, sir.
For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me.
See that?
They
pierce my hands and my feet. That's Jesus right there. You see him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he said, I will tell all my bones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
Verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
See that? But that's when they the Romans parted his garment. They gambled on it, right? Read on.
But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog.
Stop. So what did I just get from Psalms 22 and 17 and Psalms 22 and 20?
But even Jesus Christ, his body, it was his body and soul the same. It's the exact same thing, even with him.
Mm-hmm. No. Anybody else? No? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you the correlation of 20 and 20, 20 and verse 16, 20 and verse 17, 20 and verse 17. You just found out that a soul have bones.
Duh. Amen.
Amen.
See that? A soul have bones.
Amen, bro.
So what are we doing? This is the thing, you know, if we pay attention to what we're reading, then it will tell us what it is that the Father wants us to know. It tells you, like Jesus Christ said, a spirit don't have a flesh and bone like I do, and he's telling you that right here. So have bones. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Isaiah chapter 51 and 19. Isaiah 51 and 19. When you receive it, he said a duh. 51 and 19. Amen.
The book of the book of Isaiah 51 verse 19. These two things are coming to thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and a famine and a sword. By whom shall I comfort? By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted, thy light at the head of all the streets, as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God.
See, now the Lord is saying, who am I going to comfort you about this? You catching hell on just about every continent on the planet. One is because you're not a citizen of that country. Two is it's from God. And three, you are people without a country right now. Anyway, so he said, who can he comfort you with? Well, I praise God that the Lord allow us to be among the Gentiles. Hint, hint, gentle. Then being among ham, I'm going to be cutting stuff off like limbs and things like that for the wrong answer. And want to put tires and stuff. Nah, I pass on that group. So, look. Right here, the Lord is talking about who should I comfort you with. Well, he told us we'll be a little sanctuary. He'll be a little sanctuary where he scattered us at, right? Okay. Read on.
21. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again to the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over.
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me he just gave you a definition of a soul right there? What did he say?
Body.
Your soul is a body. See that? Your soul is a body. It's right there. It's right there over there. Thy soul, thy body. Right there. Thy soul, thy body. Right there. Plain and simple. But get this. You know, when they carried us off into captivity, they carried away our you know, wealth and all that stuff. So they put it on carriages and stuff like that with, you know, donkeys or pull or horses or whatever. They preferred donkeys and mules and ox, right? So if it was mud there or like a hole in the ground that an ox or your donkey can't pull that cart over, what they would do is throw the captive bodies down into that area until it fill up, and then they'll let the beast of burdens or whatever you want to call them and bring those carrots over your bodies like that. That's what they used to do. But that was from God because of our sins against God. Yep. We are the reason why Ham do not have a Wakanda. And Gentiles do not have a Camelot. Yep. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Book of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Stop. Who is he talking about here from
Jesus.
1 through 6? That's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
That's Jesus all day long, man.
Man.
All day long. Now watch this. Go to verse 10.
Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see
what?
His deed.
He going to make his what? He going to offer his soul for sin. Okay.
Offer his soul for sin. Amen.
Yeah,
so
offer his soul
offer
for
his
sin.
Offer his body for sin.
Not his soul. Offer his body for sin. Exactly. Exactly. See that? Read that again.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Okay, good. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. 10 and 1. When you receive it, read.
The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance against again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
How did he go from soul to body?
Mm-hmm.
See that? You see that? He went from soul to body. This is why you got to read your book, or else you're going to say you believe in God, and you're going to be lying to yourself. And that's the worst kind of lie, when you believe your own lies. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3. Ecclesiastes 9 and 3.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart, while they live, and after that they go into the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. Right, the dead don't know nothing.
So the dead don't have no knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the dead don't have no knowledge. It don't know anything. It don't know what time it is. It don't know what the weather is. It don't know what your mama or you doing, or your grandmama doing, or your grandbaby doing? If your soul, if your mother or father was in this world, or your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or mother was in this world, they would not be pleased with us. The dead didn't die. Right? If the dead didn't die, it'll be a whole lot of white people in trouble because of slavery.
Yep.
If a soul can come back and hunt, if a soul can come back and hunt you, white people be running down the street right now. Because all we'll be waiting on is to die. Then we could be free to get our vengeance back on you.
Right. Great way of putting it, man.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Great way of putting it.
I'm just trying to, you see, when you think about the way the world think, and then when you think about the way the Word of God think, then you see the foolishness in the world. That's all to it. But the wisdom of our God is foolishness to the world, because the Lord put in their mind the things of the world. That's okay. This is not for them. This is for you. This is for you. The world don't care about the things that belong to God. We do. So, if God teaches us that a soul is a man, a body, a person, or people, then that's what it is. If the world want to believe that a soul is inside of a Ouija board, then let them believe that.
Amen.
Where are we, brother?
We have we'll reverse 5 again. We cut off in the middle.
Yeah, read that verse 5 again.
Verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun.
See that? They don't have any more portion. So what is this soul thing that disappear out of you, man, when you die? What is this soul thing that they saying that you lost? They're the lost souls that sunk in the ship. Where are they? Because it sounds like to me once they dead, it's a wrap. They don't function no more under the heavens. This is that thing. No more knowledge of anything that's being done. So Adam don't know that there are things in this world called jet, because he's not walking around. He's dead. He is a dead soul. King David don't know anything about motorcycles, or he is dead. And the memory of them is forgotten. Also, the love and hatred and everything. So where the soul at? The soul supposed to be the essence of these things. Your love, your hatred, and your envy, and all of that. Your memory of all of whatever you are, your personal, all that. It sounds like to me it just went in the ground and it ceased to exist. So how is it that a soul can continue? When the Word of God tell you that everything came to a halt the minute the breath left you. He became a dead soul. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew 27:46. Matthew 27:46. And when you receive it, read.
The book of Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard it, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost.
What?
And behold.
So the soul came out of him. He yielded up the ghost. The soul came out. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Body, spot, body, soul, and spirit. Ghost is a spirit. It came out. Did it? What came out? Job chapter 27 and verse 1. Job chapter 27 and verse 1. When you receive it, read.
The book of Job chapter 27 verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the spirit that left his body. He gave up the ghost.
So basically the breath of life.
That's it. Because that's what made him a living soul. The minute he died, he became a dead soul. This is that thing. We take these things too for granted. Two for granted. He said, the breath is in me and the spirit of God is in my nostrils. Maybe we may not understand the spirit of God in my nostrils because we see the breath is in us. See, that's one thing, but the spirit in the nostril, that's another thing. Go to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 22.
It's Isaiah 2 and 22.
Yes, sir.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?
What? So the spirit in his nostrils is the breath in his nostrils. So God just defined the spirit that's in your nostril is your breath. That's all to it. So I hope we made this very clear. I hope we made it, well, I ain't going to say very clear. That would be, you know, presumptuous. Let's hope we shed a little more light on this subject of the soul. And we hope that that people got a better understanding what a soul is according to the Word of God. Not just, you know, a soul per se, you know, the idea, the term, and all of those good things, but what it really, really means according to the eyes of God. So with that being said, we're going to thank you for your time. We hope we edify someone, and we yield the mic.
Amen.
Brother, you're right, because I used to think that the soul was the spirit. I thought when you die, your soul leaves your body. I thought that.
We all did.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for bringing up Isaiah 53:1-7. Every time I hear that, every time I read it, I cry. Thank you.
You
lifts me up. Thank you.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom is your
love. Shalom to
call me. Hey, now. This is very great basic principles. Like you said, all of us was taught, you know, that a soul was some spooky thing and thing like that. But like I'm saying, you kind of said something that made this very, very clear to me from a comedian. Eddie Griffin had made a joke that he said, he didn't believe in ghosts. He said, because if it was ghosts, he said all the slaves should have white people running for the rest of their life. Okay. So what you're trying to say is,
right,
is prejudice ghost out there that there's only white ghosts? We can't be ghosts. So he said, no, that ain't true. He said, if there's such thing as ghosts, you know, like saying, well, every time you go to work, we should be saying, man, them white people should, man, them black ghosts kept me up all night. All of them, all your white friends should be saying that every time you go to work. Every white person in America should be tired as heck if it was such thing as ghosts.
Right.
Okay? So, yeah. But these fairy tales, but like I'm saying, these are basic principles that, like I'm saying, a very basic principle, hey, man, don't believe in ghosts and don't believe in all this fake stuff. It erases. Like I'm saying, when you come into the truth, you got to erase all the lies. And like I said, I like this. This is a very basic principle. But for people that ain't heard none of this stuff, that's been in that life for so long, this erases all that. So I love this. You know what I'm saying? You, like you said, the dead can't, you know what I'm saying, when you die, you can't go back and hunt your house. Okay? Ain't no ghost. I'm not scared. I'm saying, me, used to be some scary movies used to kind of scare me. But I'm not scared of scary movies no more. I don't even watch them no more because you know what? I don't believe in ghosts. I know ghosts don't exist, so I can jump at something that don't exist. I'm not scared of no monsters. There ain't no monsters. So, great lesson, bro. Great lesson.
Great lesson.
Hallelujah.
Great. Praise God. Praise God, brother. Man, I'm not either. But it's some movies I don't watch. It's just some things I just don't feed into my sight, you know, and I agree with you. I'm not afraid of horror movies like zombie movies and stuff like that. I stay away from movies that bring forth, you know, like, what they call it, incantations and all that type of stuff. I try to stay away from those things. But you're right. I'm not, those type of things don't bother me no more, like werewolf movies and Frankensteins and Draculas, all that stuff is out the window. You know, zombie apocalypse, that stuff is out the window. All that stuff is garbage, you know. And ghost hunting houses, that's out the window too. The only thing right now, all them paranormals and all that stuff, that's garbage. The only thing that makes that true is evil spirits. That's it. As far as talking about dealing with the dead and this used to be an insane asylum and they all hunted people, that's nonsense. No such thing ever would never happen. So, amen to that, brother. Any more questions or comments?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. If anybody don't else, I didn't think so. Hey, bro, awesome lesson. You know, big ups on the lesson. It was a short lesson, but it was a very powerful lesson, man. You know, and definitely when you look into that soul and stuff like that, I'm talking about if the people who sold their souls understood what we just read today, they'll have a riot. You know what I'm saying? For one. And for number two is that, you know, this lesson has destroyed every last reality show on dead people. You know what I'm saying? And definitely just,
amen,
getting that foolishness out. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, everybody got this, some type of astral form that's inside of them. And definitely how we broke in the scriptures. You know, first of all, how can your soul pick up a ram? You know what I'm saying? How could your soul do all these other things without you knowing it? You know what I'm saying? Or what if your soul wanted to go commit adultery with another soul? You know, it's all foolishness and folly that a lot of us hold, that a lot of people teach. But not knowing is all you got to do is read the Bible and just believe it for what it is. You know, so it was a big up on the lesson, man, to understand that this all the stuff the same thing. And the only thing that mobilizes our body is the breath of life. like the Bible said, the Lord breathed to Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And, you know, when the Lord take that away from Adam, take that away from us, instead of being a living soul, then we are a dead soul. You know, so I mean, this is basic principles and common sense that we just need to put together. That is, you know what I'm saying? It's just that simple. And I get a mic stand.
Amen, bro. Amen. I want to appreciate that, man, and appreciate the fact that you know, brothers have me and they see this thing, you know, and we all, like Sister Mary said, man, we all grew up believing this, man, you know, because this is a Catholic dogma. You know, it's a Catholic dogma, and a lot of people that's in Hollywood grew up Catholics. So they bring their dogma to the screen, you know, and teach that it's true, you know, and that it's biblical truth, because then they try to go in and try to justify with scriptures in the Bible and all that kind of stuff. Well, now we know what's the truth of a soul, you see, and anything that they come up with, we understand that we can rebuke it hands down. So agree, man. But that's only from God that we don't be taken by their snares and their darts and whatever evil doctrine that they bring forth. He said, you're going to overcome the serpents and you're going to be able to take in poisons and stuff like that. So that's all from that. Those are spiritual things. He's not talking about drinking a cup of poison and living. He's talking about this information age and doctrine and stuff like that. You're going to be able to take this nonsense and still overcome it, because you're not going to be carried off into it. So that's that thing, you know. So amen to that, you know. Well, if nothing, if anybody, no, go ahead.
I do.
Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Sister Shemaya. I would like to discuss when you went to Numbers chapter 19, because when we're talking about the body and touching dead bodies, and touching, even we as individuals, we have to wash up. And when you were talking about the Black Plague and what you were saying about that, you see, and viruses, because I believe that that is real. Because with the Black Plague, they were talking about feces. They, you know, they weren't doing cleaning and things like that. So I believe in the viruses, because, and I believe in biological warfare. So I'm trying to understand, how are you comparing this with Numbers and the Numbers 19 through 22 when you're touching dead bodies? I try to understand when you're unclean. That's like if you're on your the woman's flower, you're unclean for 7 days. But I believe in the viruses. I believe in those plagues. And I believe, even when I look at some of those that are on meth, I believe they're zombies. Well, they're not dead, but they're spiritually dead. I mean, if you look at some of those on meth, if you look at some of those on heroin, it's like they are like, they are to me like zombies. They're living, but they're not alive. They are spiritually dead. And I believe that's what's happening now in America right now. They're on so much drugs, they're on so much meth, and, you know, those type of drugs, heroin and all of that kind of stuff, that's some serious stuff right there. So I don't understand when you unless I just missed it totally, but that, you know, I understand when you're unclean. Okay,
amen.
Okay, that's just a conversation that's thrown out there. Okay.
No, I mean, but I, you know,
I
like,
put it together. I'll try to understand. Well, I understand in Numbers 19, you're saying that they're unclean, and then when you took it to the war of, they were throwing dead bodies over, and see, to me, remember, you have to bury a dead body, or disease will spread, or either you see them when in Victorian time they were burning them, because disease would spread from a dead body.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just
this
something
mess
that's thrown out there, a thought that was on my mind.
No, that was part of the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, that's the idea. It's called germ warfare, and the ages
mm-hmm.
kicked it off on Europe when they was fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
They threw a dead
uh-huh.
body out there that was full of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
They did something. They did a little bit of it in this new Laura Croft film.
I saw that, and I was very disappointed because I was hoping to see her army rise or something, but they used
right.
a bite. I
it turned out to be. I got it because I
uh-huh.
remember this Black Plague story.
Right.
So that I got that. You know that's where that came from. You know that's what they were going back to, showing that if they can do that, they can
oh.
start the Black Plague all over again.
Are you talking
you
about
know.
Back in time?
Right. You know,
uh-huh.
but the whole thing is that. You know, this is what we call germ warfare, and Asians
right.
brought that into the works, and that's all they were saying throughout that film, man. I got that,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Mm.
But, you know, like I said, a little bit of truth, a little bit of, you know, and a whole
right.
lot of nonsense and fill-ins and all of that. But if you understand history, you read history, and you understand the Word of God, and you put that first, then those things don't move you when you run in a fairy tale, like Brother Nehemiah said. I no
mm-hmm.
longer fear monster movies. Why? Because they're fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Make believe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it don't make any sense. If it's not life, it can't bring death.
Right.
So it's not
right.
fair.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I heard that 100%. So and I get it because I felt the same way when I was delivered, when I understood what the soul was. When the Father revealed to me what the soul is, I let go a whole lot of dogs. Tons of it.
Man.
So
cuz they made merciful. The soul another entity. They're trying to make the soul a entity. When it's like you were saying, I'm learning too that, you know, that they're trying
yeah.
to make it stand up.
That's what we do.
So,
when you don't understand something, you make it up. Go ahead, bro.
Right,
Shalom,
right.
Mr. Light.
People don't understand one of the biggest things the enemy is trying to make us do. It's to believe in a whole bunch of things that's not true. They want you to believe that there's a Holy Spirit, another idiot. They want you to believe in ghosts. They want you to believe in monsters. They want you to believe in all this hocus pocus type weird stuff to take your focus. And they want the world wants you to entertain all this fake stuff. Just like they, the big thing is fake news. Well, that's the world. That's the enemy. Man, he wants you to believe in all this fakeness so you can't focus on what's real.
Man.
So that's what I'm saying. Why do you think they make these monster movies? Because they want you to believe in that. I'm saying, like, last night I was watching this dude named Rogan, and he believed in a whole bunch of crazy mess. And one thing, he thinks the computers is going to make an alternate. He really believed that this alternate universe. They really believe that the that way we live in right now, somebody is doing it, and this is not real. That this is an alternate.
Yeah, that's
we live
that,
in an alternate state.
That
okay, so yeah, so a lot of people believe in this mess. I met a black brother 2 years ago. Said he believed in. He said, "I believe in computers. That is my religion. That's where I believe they're going. This is going to take over everything, and this is what it is. So I'm praising it now."
That's like
so. But see, like I said, that ain't man can't do it. Like I said, you're talking about an impossibility. And see, that's what I'm saying. They want us to think that they got the ability to do these things when they don't. They don't have the ability to do it. Because guess what? Man is imperfect. Man can't make a perfect car. They can't make a car without a bumper falling off that mug in like 2 or 3 years. What makes you think they can make an alternate state of being? They can't make a phone without crashing. What makes you think they can make a whole alternate universe that's gonna fake everybody? What it's only gonna last for about a week and then it's gonna fall apart.
Amen, bro.
We can do great things, people, but God is also reality. Stay in it. I dropped the mic.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't fall for the folly. I know that's right.
Right. Right. Well, like I said, it's all dogmas, man. We're still following old mystic tales and flat earth tales and stuff like that. All that is all mysticism, man. Nonsense, man. I remember when I first heard the earth was flat, I was in grammar school, and they said that the Europeans believed in that because they never sailed past their shores other than to Africa, and they felt that, you know, once you get to the edge of the ocean, whatever the edge is, that you fall off, and then you fall into another society or another realm or alternate universe, and there would be people like dogs that would eat you and stuff like that. I got you. If you say so. I wish to God I had a video of this dude in this tow truck about. He was explaining where the flat earth came from. That would have been the icing on a cake. But anyway, anyone else have any questions or comments on this soul theory? No? Well, I'm going to say, well, everybody, praise be the Lord. I'm glad the Father gave us some understanding on this matter and caused us to see things for what it really is. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for allowing your word to be heard. With that being said, I want to thank everybody that's for their time and listening, and we hope we edify someone. And for myself, at the Commonwealth of Israel, Bible study class here in St. Paul, Minnesota, Sister Rhea Israel, man, and the boys did a great job at that. Shalom, shalom, Israel. Brother Isaiah, great
shalom,
job.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, Israelite. Great job reading Isaiah. Great job, man. That was phenomenal. I know we fell back into them four syllable names, but you handled it. So and Nation of Peace, they appreciate that. And also family, you know, Nefa, Grace of Peace, and my sisters and my brothers, love you all. With that being said, thank you for your time. As we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio Show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.